GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Dennis Marble, our guest co-host, State Senator Jim Hamper, has had only about 15 hours of sleep over the past 5 days.
Yeah.
But he's called in this morning after a big day of work in Augusta yesterday. Jim, welcome back to GHRT.
Good morning. Good morning, Dennis.
What a trooper. Rick.
Wow.
Hey, I'm suffering from PLSD.
PLSD.
Post-legislative...
Stress disorder?
Disorder, right.
You guys did adjourn sine die. Was it last night or this morning?
We did last night, just about 10 o'clock.
Okay. And before you went, I know we want to talk about the reduced spending package.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the legislative package in responding to COVID-19. I don't know if you have any details on that.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of information in both of those. Both Democrats and Republicans, spent pretty much the whole day Saturday. I mean, I had 12 hours dedicated to it on Saturday. We met off-site. We were up at Ricker Hill Orchards, Senator Timberlake's establishment. Republicans gathered there, and we had a good visit from the DAFS commissioner, Kirsten Figueroa, and she helped us greatly in getting paring down a spending package. Both sides had the directive from leadership on Friday. Guys, you got to pare this thing down. So we started with the governor's supplemental budget at $126 million. And as you recall, the March forecast, the revenue forecasting committee got together and said, hey, you got another $74 million. And we all went into the weekend disregarding that new forecast. Because of what's happening with COVID-19 mm-hmm. and so on, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We went from, you know, whoopee to whoa back. You know, just hold on, watch out. And particularly Republicans, we looked at how can we pare this thing back. And the administration was very cooperative with us and helping get the numbers put together. We got a whole bunch of different issues with the Department of Health and Human Services worked out because we wanted to increase some spending for DHHS within the package. And boom, we came up with and agreed on Sunday evening on a basically a $75 million, just $7,500 short of $75 million spending package. So we went from 126 to 75 and got comfort all the way around from everybody, and bam, let's get this thing going, and did so yesterday.
So, Jim, that reminds me. I mean, a week or two ago, we talked about, you know, ebbs and flows in the world, and you can't get too sunny side about a short-term forecast with what may be on the horizon. We already talked about that, so you guys started having to walk that walk pretty quickly. I guess my question is kind of a process question. You did cooperative, effective work realistically and quickly. You know, it's like everybody was under the gun. Is there anything to be learned or a takeaway from that for a time when things are not as emergent?
How soon we all forget. Really. You know, it'll go back to, you know, when things settle down, we'll go back to the usual partisan rancor. You know, come on. And I'm reflective because I'm at the end of my 16-year career in state government, and I'm reflective of a four-year period where a particular representative and I worked opposite sides of the aisle, but worked together. He was committee chair for 2 years, and the next 2 years I was committee chair, and we worked together, and my word was as good as his word, and you know, it was the way things should be, and it's not always that way throughout the building, unfortunately. So,
inside the pared down spending package, we wonder about what bonds or what bond packages might now be sent out to voters.
Okay, yeah, and that was part of the agreement Sunday night. Was the one bond LD-2136? I think it is. Which was $105 million for transportation, which we've seen pretty much annually, and another $15 million for broadband. and that was it. Boom, one, and that will be on. There was amendment added to that to put it on the June ballot.
So, what would be the big one or two items that are not going to make it to bonding?
Oh my goodness! I've forgotten how many $1 billion worth of bond requests.
Billion. Was that billion with a B? Or
with a B.
With a B.
I think we crested over $2 billion worth of bond requests, you know, bills that we had in committee. So it's there's going to be a lot of broken hearts.
Talking with State Senator Jim Hamper, operating on 5 hours, 15 hours of sleep over the past 5 days. You know him as the number-crunching bean counter, and he's just giving you an idea what's inside the spending package.
So the spending package... We settled upon the governor's proposal on the K-12 education funding. So there was a $38 million nut right there that, you know, that's half of the spending package was because schools are setting their budgets and this was the proposal and they kind of work off of it, so bam. But we also, there's $10 million cash from the general fund going into transportation. So, you know, we got transportation a shot in the arm, and that's quite a couple of miles of skinny mix right there that will take care of it. We also did a whole lot of rate increases on DHHS, the direct care workers, nursing homes, Section 65 behavioral health, all that got money. That total package was $14 million to DHHS. Just to bump up rates due to the minimum wage increase. But also in this package, $17 million went to the Budget Stabilization Fund, which is currently at $240 million, so we'll have $257 million when that's all done. Also, we made available to the governor in her emergency powers and all, another $11 million for her to spend towards the COVID if necessary. Mm-hmm. So that was part of the spending package, but also the emergency powers that she has, which is already in statute. You know, I had to deal with that question to a number of people last night, was what, you know, they're looking at the emergency bill that we passed for the governor. And already the emergency powers are already in statute, and it gives the governor, not just this governor, but any governor, a whole lot of power in dealing with actions around the state. I wanted to highlight this morning, and I'm still waiting for Department of Labor to put the fact sheet up on their website, but we made available changes in the unemployment regs, so that, you know, I've been talking to some restaurant owners who, my goodness, boom, they got to lay off a whole bunch of people because there's no work there. Mm-hmm. And so we waived the 1 week waiting period on unemployment benefits, and also it doesn't ding the employer's mod rating when it comes to these COVID-related layoffs, mm-hmm. so that you know, their rates don't increase in the future. The fund has plenty of money in it. Good, let's take care of some people, you know, and get unemployment benefits to them rapidly.
State Senator Jim Hamper, the Republican of Oxford, the guy that's been watching the money matters in Augusta for you all along, checking in before adjournment, which happened last night. Can we ask you one question aside from money matters that we picked up this morning? And that is the matter concerning opposition to Central Maine Power's Clean Energy Connect project. We know that the citizens, the opponents, gathered the necessary signatures, they said. They sent them to the Secretary of State's office. The Secretary of State's office certified the signatures and advanced the question to the legislature. Then comes the news that CMP, or an organization in support of the project, had hired a private detective that tailed one of the organizers, one of the petition gatherers, that turned out to be one of the notaries that certified some of the signatures, and in doing so, that runs afoul of state law. So CMP calls the petition or some of the signatures into question. The Secretary of State as I understand, not having enough time to investigate, and still before adjournment must send the question to the legislature. And that's why you had on your table, I think, last night, LD 2164, a resolve to reject the New England Clean Energy Connect transmission project. Apparently it cleared, or in the House, it got sent to committee. But once it made the Senate, it was tabled because they're waiting on the courts. How am I doing so far?
Yep. I'm looking at the website on that, and by motion of Senator Libby and Scoggin, tabled till later in the session. So there it sits until we get back into session.
So the question that opponents wanted to see on the ballot is in question.
That would be my guess. Quite honestly, Rick, I was focused last night on, number one, getting that supplemental budget and all those ramifications, and doing an in-depth study of the emergency COVID bill that was, I don't know, a dozen and a half pages, and looking at that thorough. So my focus was on a whole bunch of other things besides CMP. I'm sorry. I don't have a good answer for you on that.
Thanks, Jim. So final question for you to muse about here. Drawing on your 16 years of experience there, for which we thank you. There's so much in flux with the looming recession, with COVID and everything else. You guys had to really cram a lot of work at the end. And then there's this issue of the clean energy corridor and everything you and Rick just talked about. What are the odds that the governor will call, or the legislature will call itself back into special session?
I'd say pretty good. We all kind of were on that expectation. It's just a question of when's all this going to kind of blow over, when will, you know, be deemed safe to come out. By the way, last night driving home, it was weird.
Right? Did you notice that? I noticed that on the way into work this morning. Usually there's truckers, there's more traffic.
Right.
There's a line at Duncan.
Yeah. Right.
Crickets.
Right.
Yeah, 34 miles of turnpike last night, and I had nobody in the windshield and nobody in the rearview mirror, and about in the course of that 34 miles, maybe two dozen cars or vehicles headed north.
Yeah, but at 3 a.m., it's not that unusual, right, Jim?
Well, no, this was at 10:30, quarter of 11.
Okay. Yeah.
And then get into the local roads and one of the main intersections, and I look over at the Big Apple store, and nobody's at the gas pumps. Nobody's at the McDonald's, which is drive-up anyway.
Yep.
Nobody at the intersection. It was strange.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.